Alright, so we have just a couple points left to cover in the 13th Iker, the Iker of Tchias HaMeisim, and then we will be doing the maybe 1 week on the postscript of the Ikrim, and then we're moving on to something else from the writings of the Rambam. But so we've been talking for a couple weeks now about just the general idea of the Machlokas Rishonim, the Rambam and the Ramban's different views on what really what Olam Haba is, and based thereon what the role or what the place of Tchias HaMeisim is. Just, it's been a few weeks, so just a brief recap that the Ramban, which is what is the overwhelming majority view of the Rishonim and is generally, you know, viewed today as the accepted position, is the view that Olam Haba is for both the soul and the body. It is a spiritual reward, but the body is somehow involved in it. We discussed about the Ramban's idea of the spiritual elevating the physical, and that itself being part of the mechanism of the reward. I'm not going to get back into all of that, but basically in the Ramban world, so Olam Haba is a place for the body and the soul together. And Tchias HaMeisim, therefore, is a very central role. That is the ma'avar, that is the entry point into Olam Haba, is the reuniting of the body with the soul. And therefore, the reason why there's Tchias HaMeisim is because that's what Olam Haba is about. It requires the recreation of the person. The person, the identity of the person, was not just a neshama, it was a neshama and a guf, a soul and a body, and therefore those have to be reunited in order to enter that final stage of existence. The Rambam, however, in several places, is clear that that Olam Haba is only for the nefesh. What we call neshama, the Rambam calls nefesh, is only for the nefesh, and that the body, the destiny of all physicality is always to return to nothing, and there's going to be an end to it, and therefore the Olam Haba, the final schar, is only for the neshama, is a purely spiritual nature, or maybe we could even say a purely intellectual nature, and therefore there's really no room for the physical, for the body in that place, and therefore the question which emerges very strongly in the Rambam, which we've been discussing, is that what is the point of Tchias HaMeisim? What is the point of the revival of the dead, resurrection? As the Rambam writes, and we'll see this again this morning, that after Tchias HaMeisim, a person comes back to life, they die again. So it's like, and then you go back to Olam Haba, or then you go to Olam Haba. So what exactly is the role of Olam Haba, of Tchias HaMeisim at all, and why does it have central significance? So we're just trying, we went through one possible approach last time we met, going to go through another approach this morning. This is, I'll call it my own suggestion, inspired by a discussion that I had with Rabbi Eliezer Lachman. I don't know if anyone knows who that is. He is the Rosh Kollel of the Only Kollel, but he was a mentor of mine when he was still, and I was still in Neri Yisrael. He's a very close Talmud of Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, and very well-versed in these kinds of things. I can't blame this entire approach on him, because it's somewhat of my own ideas put in, but definitely influenced by discussions that I had with him. So the cover page here, just to remind everyone what we're talking about, is and just to remind everyone how terse the Rambam is about this issue, is the end of the Rambam's listing of the 13 Ikrim here. So he has only one line for the 13th Ikr. He says the Yisod Hashlosha Sar Tchias HaMeisim Ukvar Be'arnu. The 13th Ikr is Tchias HaMeisim. We've already explained it. That's what he's referring back to, is a few paragraphs earlier in the introduction to Chelek, where he has a few more sentences which are not too explanatory, which we'll hopefully next week we'll try and get back to that point. But the Rambam does not tell us very much, not even about what Tfilas HaMeisim is, forgetting why it's important. He doesn't even really discuss what it is. But so that's the entirety of what the Rambam has to say about it in his list of Ikrim. So now, just to refresh the question that we want to try and answer. So we had two main points we want to address. So the first one is just a big problem with the Gemara that the Rambam has, or a big problem with the Rambam based on the Gemara. The first Mishnah in Perek Chelek says, Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek Olam Haba. All Yisrael have a portion in Olam Haba. Ve'elu she'en lehem chelek olam haba, ha'omer ein tchias ha'meisim in Torah. The first one that the Mishnah lists as not having a chelek in olam haba is someone who says that tchias ha'meisim, that there is no tchias ha'meisim, or that tchias ha'meisim is not from the Torah, even if they do say there's tchias ha'meisim. Maybe if we have one more class on this, we'll get back to that point. But basically, the Mishnah is pretty clear that if you say there's no tchias ha'meisim, you do not get olam haba. The Gemara now says, the kol kach lama, why is that? Why is it so extreme? Why is it so severe? Tana, who kafar b'tchias ha'meisim? He rejected tchias ha'meisim, l'fikach lo yero chelek b'tchias ha'meisim. Therefore, he will not have a chelek in tchias ha'meisim. Shekol midos of shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu mida k'neged mida, because all of the attributes of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu are measure for measure, mida k'neged mida. So, the big issue here is that the Mishnah and the Gemara explanation are fairly clear that Tchias HaMeisim and Olam Haba seem to be perhaps interchangeable, but at least related to each other, because the Mishnah says these are the people who don't have Olam Haba, someone who says that there's no Tchias HaMeisim. Says the Gemara, why? Well, he rejected Tchias HaMeisim, so therefore he won't have a chelek in Tchias HaMeisim. So in explaining why he doesn't get Olam Haba, the Gemara says, because he rejected Tchias HaMeisim, therefore he doesn't get Tchias HaMeisim. So it seems like Gemara saying he doesn't get Tchias HaMeisim is tantamount to saying he doesn't get Olam Haba. In the Ramban, that makes perfect sense. Tchias HaMeisim is the starting point. That's the point of departure of Olam Haba is Tchias HaMeisim. But in the Rambam, that Tchias HaMeisim is this intermediary stage, which, you know, it seems to be somewhat of an interruption of Olam Haba. So what is the Gemara linking the two for? And the second point is what we were just mentioning before about the Rambam's view in general. The best place to really quote this from would be the Rambam himself in Ikaras HaTchiyah, but since be more picking and choosing from different places and would also involve getting a copy that would be conducive to make photocopies from, instead we'll just take a snippet from the Ramban's summary of the Rambam's approach towards the end of Shaar HaGemul. The Ramban is at this point in the middle of introducing his questions on the Rambam, but he sums up the Rambam's position. He says, "Behine yamin b'emes." The Rambam really believes Tchias HaMeisim shu ikar meikari haTorah. Tchias HaMeisim is an ikar of the Torah. He certainly believes in Tchias HaMeisim and believes that it is of essential importance. Hakavana bo, what the idea of Tchias HaMeisim is, Shetashuv haNefesh laGuf, the soul comes back to the body. Beratzon abor yisparach, by Hashem's will. VaYetzu haNeshamos min Olam Haba, and the souls will leave Olam Haba. When a person dies, the Rambam writes, we saw this before, that the person, when they die, goes to Olam Haba. Olam Haba is a place that exists right now. It's not a place, it's not a future place. It's a place right now. When a person dies, they go to Olam Haba. V'yashuvu laguf b'yamei Tchias HaMeisim, and they will leave Olam Haba and come back to the body for Tchias HaMeisim. V'yis'adnu ha'anashim rehema zochim b'tovas Olam Hazeh b'yamos Mashiach, and those people who are merit to be included, they will get the benefit of the best that this world has to offer. The Yizku bo lama'ala elyona mima'alasam arishona, and they will be able to achieve a greater level than the level that they were originally at. Aval acharechin, but afterwards, Yigzar Ravzal Misa al Mashiach Valdora. The Rambam says that Mashiach and his generation are going to die. The Yiyu Nafsho Seim Batova Olam Haba, and then their souls will go back to the Tov, the good of Olam Haba, the Lo Guf, without a body, Kemosha Hayam Litchila, like they were right before then. Just that it's Bimala Gedola Mimena, it's at a higher level from what they were before. Shazachu la b'mitzvot sha'asu b'zman atziyah. They were zocha, they merited with the mitzvot that they do during the time of the resurrection. V'zeh yiskayim lehem lenetzach. And that will stay with them for eternity. So we're going to get back to that last line of the Ramban in a few minutes. But the Ramban basically just sums up the position of the Rambam. You're going to die, a person dies, they go to Olam Haba if they merited that. And then when it comes the time of Tzias Nesim, if they deserve to come back, so they'll come back to life. They'll be here for another go. They get another turn, a mulligan, and then you die again, and you go back to Olam Haba, right? So exactly, what is the point of all this? Is what we're going to try and put together this morning. So there is just before we see what we're the next series of things. We have coming up basically the first and last halacha in Mishneh Torah and the Anah Chazaka, the first and last chapter of Mor Nevochim, the first mitzvah in Sefer Mitzvos, and I don't think I had anything else that and then we'll just to demonstrate something. But basically, before we go any further, the Rambam, in his Igeres HaTriyah, the Rambam wrote a long letter called Igeres HaTriyah in response to an accusation that was leveled against him. Basically, as we saw a few minutes ago, the Rambam has very little to say about Tchiyas HaMesim, both in his in the introduction to the Ikrim, in the paragraph before, in Mishneh Torah, he has very little to say about it. He says that, you know, it's an Ikr of the Torah, but he doesn't really have very much to say about it. And the Rambam, despite the fact that he only put 13 things in his list of Ikrim, and Tchiyas HaMesim was one of them, and he puts it on the list of those who reject it, that they're called a kofar in Hilchos Tshuva. Despite that, the Rambam was accused of not really believing in Tchiyas HaMesim. That they said, he didn't really bother to spend so much time in it because he didn't really believe in it. So the Rambam wrote a letter in response explaining exactly why he had done what he did. And the Rambam basically writes as follows. That Olam Haba he spent a lot of time on, because Olam Haba is something that we can relate to in a rational, logical kind of way. Olam Haba makes sense as a consequence of what happens in this world, and therefore the Rambam goes at length to explain how what we do in this world leads to the next world, where Olam Haba fits in, what Olam Haba is, and proofs of the nature of Olam Haba and the existence of Olam Haba, and all of these kinds of things. He says it's a topic which lends itself to discussion, as opposed to Tchiyas HaMesim. The Rambam says Tchiyas HaMesim doesn't really fit in a pure rational kind of way to any systematic discussion. He's the way the Rambam says it. Tchiyas HaMesim is a nace. It's a mofes. It's a miracle. And miracles are miracles. There's not much to talk about it. The sea split because God wanted the sea to split. What do you want me to say about it? It is what it is. So the Rambam says the same thing about Tchiyas HaMesim. Tchiyas HaMesim. God said there will be Tchiyas HaMesim. It's a nace that's going to happen. Okay, so it's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's not that, you know, I don't have that much to say about it because it just is what it is.
It doesn't impact following its
It's kind of something like that, right? So the Rambam says there's not much room for a rigorous intellectual discussion of proving the how it's going to be and what it's going to be and that it's going to be. There are Psukim and Daniel which make it clear that there will be Tchiyas HaMesim. So there will be Tchiyas HaMesim, and that's the end of the discussion. So just want to try and put into perspective exactly what the Rambam is, why that's the case in the Rambam's view, and then try and maybe from there try and get what is really where Tchiyas HaMesim actually fits in. So in the Rambam's worldview, the pinnacle of achievement and the goal and purpose of existence is Da'as, specifically Da'as of Hashem. The Rambam describes the greatest Maila, the level that a person comes from is the level of the Seichel, the level of the intellect, an intellectual grasp of religious principles and of God is the epitome of accomplishment, and that's really the goal of existence, is to accumulate das. And we'll see the central place that this has in the Rambam's worldview. The beginning, the first halacha in Mishneh Torah and the Yana Chazaka, so is the first page here. Yesod ha-yesodos v'amud ha-chachmos leida she-yesham matzai rishon v'hu mamtzi kol nimtza. The very first halacha is to know about the existence of God and that His existence is absolute. Everything else that exists only exists because of the reality of God's existence, and that His existence is not dependent on them. And the Rambam goes on, the next few halachos go on about some very basic things about the nature of God's existence. But the very first point in the very first halacha in the Yad is to know that God exists. The very last halacha in the Yad HaZaka, the Rambam is describing the time period of Mashiach, which is something we're going to get back to. The Rambam writes, "V'lo ye'aseh kol ha'olam ela la'das as Hashem bilvad, u'lefi kach yu chachamim gedolim v'yodim d'var mastumim amukim v'yasigu das boram." That at that time, the only involvement of people will be to know God, and therefore there will be the great wise men of that time who know all of the secrets, and they will be able to grasp knowledge of their Creator, kefikach adam, to the extent of human capability. Shenemar ki mara arts deas Hashem kamayim olyam machasim, that the land will be filled with knowledge of Hashem, to like the sea covers the sea floor, the seabed. That's the earth will be full of God's knowledge. You turn the page, the very first mitzvah. Yes.
You were saying that the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban. Is there something about there being witnesses? When people die and then they are reunited with their goof.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like a tree falling in the woods? If there's no live people who are already alive to see it, is that a factor that's going to come in here?
No following. What do you mean?
If there are people who are alive already,
yeah,
to witness Techiyas HaMeit,
right, which there will be.
There will be, just
right,
logically.
Well, Techiyas HaMeit happens at some point, and there is...
Everybody could be dead.
Everybody cannot be dead.
Why not?
Because...
It happened when the world's still around.
Because then there would be a break in the Masorah of Torah. But in any case, the Rambam most of the Rishonim are pretty clear that there will be those who are the survivors of the war of Gog and Magog or whatever it is. There will be people who are alive, right?
Okay.
Sorry, not a problem. All right. So the Rambam in the beginning of Sefer Mitzvos. So this is a little bit of a trick here that I did, but basically, the Sefer Mitzvos was not written in Hebrew. It was written in Arabic, and it was translated. And so what we have here is the standard translation, followed by a little note that with the important qualification of the translation. Basically, the first mitzvah, I will have to ask a list for mitzvah. Hashem. Now we're going to mention all of the mitzvos one by one. Hamitzvah Rishona, Hi Hatzivu Esher Tzivanu LaHa'amin HaElukus, is the mitzvah that we're commanded to believe in God. V'hu Shenamin SheYesham Ala V'Siba Hu Pol Kol Nimtzos, that we're commanded to believe that there is an original cause, an original source who acts, everything that happens, everything that exists comes from him. So the big problem with this formulation is, and this is the way a number of Rishonim ask this question, the Ramban, that God, it is completely illogical for God to command you to believe in him. because if you don't believe in him, so then you don't believe that anyone commanded you to believe in him. And if you do believe in him, then you don't need to be commanded to believe in him. You already believe in him. So it doesn't make any sense to be commanded to believe in God. And therefore, all of the Rishonim who accept Anochi Hashem Elokecha as a mitzvah, which are some Rishonim who say it's not a mitzvah, it's just a statement, but all the Rishonim who say Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am God, is some form of mitzvah, all come up with some aspect of it which does not just mean believe in God. But so the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah and also here, so he says the word we have is Laha'amin, but if you look in the note here, they have a somewhat of based on the original Arabic comments about, and based on other sources, how it really should be translated. It says V'yesh l'targamo gam leida. It should not be translated as to believe that God exists, but to know that God exists. Like with the Rambam, how it's translated in Yisodei Torah, which was written by the Rambam in Hebrew. So that one we know he means Leda. And in this, and the Minyan HaKatzar, the very shorthand list of the mitzvahs where it's translated as Leda. V'ayin Radvaz uv'metzudas David mitzvah Rishona v'ramach b'ornera v'gviz v'gasha shalo kasav rabbeinu l'amin, that they all say that the Rambam did not write l'amin ki ikar ha-mitzvah hi Leda, because the primary point of the mitzvah is not to believe God exists, but to know God exists. U'pirshu kol echav l'fi darko matzar Leda, each one of them explained according to their own approach what it is that you need to know. But basically, knowledge is something beyond belief. You believe that God exists is kind of the predicate of all mitzvahs. So once you, that belief, so that can require some further development of it into knowledge, whatever it means, whatever that knowledge is, whether it just be solidifying that belief to the point where it's concrete, or whether it be understanding some specific thing about God's existence, whatever it is, each one according to how they go. V'hatargum l'ha'amin einu meduyak. But the translation of l'ha'amin is imprecise, is really incorrect. But so the first mitzvah is also leida, that God is to know that God exists. Again, this idea of das. We turn the page. We have here the first chapter of the first section of Mor Nevochim, in the last chapter of the last section of Mor Nevochim. In the first chapter of Mor Nevochim, the Rambam is describing what the words Tselem and Demus, which are commonly translated as a form and an image, or an image and a form, or something like that. The Rambam is defining exactly what these things mean. He's explaining the fallacy of those who think that it means that God has some physical structure that we're supposed to, you know, God has a physical image, and to be like, you know, that God formed us in his image means he made us look like him. And the Rambam is going through why that's an incorrect way to understand what these terms mean. The Rambam writes, we're going to skip to where he describes what Tselem is. About Tselem, ne'marhu al ha-mitzvah ha-tivis, I'm sorry, ha-tura ha-tivis, kelomar al ha-inyan asher bonia davar v'nasa mashu. Tselem is describing the most basic nature of something, which identifies or makes it into what it is. The defining point of what something is called its tselem. Vehi amitaso machmas hayoso oso amotsoi. And it is, this thing is what it is because of that detail, because of that thing about it. Asher oso ha'inyan ba'adam, by mankind, what is that point? Hu asher botia ha'hasaga anoshis, is that which he has intellect, the human ability to grasp concepts. Ubi glaha saga sikhlas azu, and it is due to this intellectual capacity, nemar bo betzelem elokim bara oso. That's why it is said about man that he was made betzelem elokim, is because he has hasaga enoshis, is because he has the human capacity for intellect. So says the Rambam, the most basic definition, what defines man as man, is his capacity to grasp concepts, to have intellectual grasp of things. That is the defining point of what it means to be human. And says the Rambam, and that is what it means when the Torah describes that we were created with Tselem Elokim, the image of God, because we have the ability to go beyond just, you know, the physical world that we see, and to grasp things which are, you know, conceptual and spiritual in nature. That is the defining point of man. In the final chapter of Mor Nevochim, the Rambam is describing four different aspects of intellect, starting from just, you know, the first one just being awareness of facts, and the Rambam, that's the lowest one. The last one, the fourth one, which is what the put in here, says the Rambam, the Amin HaRevi'i, the fourth type is he Hashlemus Anoshis Hamitis, is the true perfection of man. The he Hasagas Hamailos Ahagionios is the grasp of logical milos, of logical intellectual levels of heights. Kolomar Tsir Muskalos Hamavios Lahashkavos Amitios Binyan Elokim, which means, as the Rambam, intellectual hard word to translate, intellectual structures, I guess, which bring a person to the proper perspectives and understanding of spiritual concepts. Bezuhi hatachlis asofis, and this is the final purpose. This is the ultimate purpose of existence. Vehi hamashlima es adam shleimus amitis. This is what brings a person to true perfection. Vehi lo levado, and that is his alone. Vehi hamanika lo hakiyum hanitzchi. That is what gives him eternal existence. Uba adam adam, and it is through that that man is man. Says the Rambam that it is this achievement, that's what a person has that stays with him for eternity. The Rambam writes in a similar description in the Yad, the Rambam is describing, or is explaining, Chazal's description says that in Olam Haba, it says that there's Inbuch, Lohachil, Roshtia, Elat Sadikim, Yoshim, Vitrosem, Roshem, Venanim, Miziv, Ashtina, the Rambam, which means that that in Olam Haba, there's just the tzaddikim are sitting with their crowns on their head and benefiting and taking in, basking in the glory of God's presence. So the Rambam explains that the itchoseim, the rosheim, the crown that they have on their head is the da'as, is that which goes on their head, is the da'as, is the awareness, the intellectual, or the conceptual grasp of God that they have achieved, and that, and he says, and that is what remains with them. That's what Itrosein Beroshein is, and that's what they take with them when you go into the next world. What you take with you is the da'as, that grasp of Hashem that you're able to get in this world, and that's the fulfillment of a person, is that da'as, and that's the the tachlis, the purpose of a person. So that being the case, that is why, in the Rambam's view, so a person's achievements in this world leads very neatly into the next world, because the next, to the extent that you perfect your seichel, so in the next world, basically when the body is departed with or from, and all you have left is the das that you achieved, it's a very logical ramification of your performance in this world is your position in the next world. Olam Haba is the place in which that intellectual awareness of God is realized. So to the extent that you achieved, that you activated, so to speak, your seichel and your specifically in the area of Das Elohim, of knowledge of Hashem in this world, to that extent, that's what you're left with in the next world. And it's a very logical progression from one to the other. So the question is, where does Tchiyas HaMeisim fit into this? And the Rambam explains that in Igeres HaTchiya, that Tchiyas HaMeisim, the exact mechanism of it, is not something we can discuss very much, but we can at least try and understand that in the progression, in the structure of the way that God set up the world. So what is the role of Tchiyas HaMeisim? So try and fit that in. So the Rambam, in the ninth chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, is describing, he's explained, basically, that it's all about Olam Haba, that true reward is in Olam Haba. So he then asks, so why is it that we have so much talk about reward in this world? Why does the Torah describe if you do the right thing that you'll get rain and you'll get crops and you'll have peace and all of these nice things? What is that doing? So the Rambam basically describes that those things are those things are things which enable, which facilitate a person to be able to focus on Torah and mitzvos. And the Rambam writes, and therefore if a person is doing the right thing, God will enable that person as a reward, will give him, will facilitate his further progress of progressing that area. And if a person is rejecting, he's not interested in doing the right thing, so God will make it harder for him. And the Rambam writes, so starting from the underline right here at the end of Halakha Aleph, the imazavtem es Hashem, v'shagisem b'machal mishtos, nos v'domoem. If you leave Hashem and you get involved in eating and drinking and illicit activities and those kinds of things, maybe Aleichem kol ha'klalos elu, he brings all the curses which are described in the Torah, u'meisir kol ha'brachos, and he removes all of the blessings, ad sheyikalu yameichem b'havala b'pachad, until you spend all of your days, you deplete all of your days in confusion and in fear, v'lo yielachem leiv panoi v'lo guf shalim lasos emitzvos, and you will not have, your heart will not be available, and your body will not be complete, will not be prepared to do the mitzvos, k'dei she'avdu mechai olam haba, in order that you not be able to get olam haba. V'nimtza she'avadetem shnei olamos, you end up losing both worlds. She'bizman she'adam tarud v'olam hazeh, at the time when a person is distracted, disturbed in this world, b'choli u'bil mechaba u'biravon, with sickness, with war, with hunger, eino misasek lo b'chachma v'lo b'mitzvah shebehein zochin l'chai olam haba, he is not able to be involved in chachma, in wisdom, and in maisa, in action through which a person gains olam haba. U'mipneze halacha beis, says the Rambam, because of this, his avu kol yisrael nevi'im v'chachamim yimos ha'malach mashiach, this is why all of the Nevi'im and all of the Chachamim, they all desired, they all yearned for the times of Mashiach. K'dei she'enuchu mimalchus ha'risha, she'ena v'nichu al Yisrael l'asa v'tor mitzvus kehogan. That in order that B'nai Yisrael be removed from the rulership of the nations that don't allow them to be involved in Torah and mitzvahs appropriately. It's not because they didn't want to hang out and, you know, just be comfortable and live the good life. They wanted to have that existence in which it is most enabled to be involved in pursuing godly pursuits. And that way they'll be able to amass chachma, amass wisdom, and through that be zocha merit olam haba. In that time period, that's when there will be an abundance of Deya and Chachma and Emes. Shenema Kimara Arts Deya as Hashem. That in that time the world will be full of knowledge of God. The Namar, the Lo Yilamdu Ishas Ephav, the Ishas Re'eu, that people will no longer teach each other. Basically, the Amshach of the Apostle, people will all be involved in helping each other understand God. The Namar, and it says, V'hasi Rosi Es Leiv Ha'Evan Mi Besarchem, I will remove the stone heart from inside you and replace it with a heart of flesh. I mean, I will remove the barriers, the blockades that you have from understanding, from being able to relate to God, and I'll replace it with a heart of flesh, with a heart which is open to these kinds of, to this kind of revelation, of interaction. So basically what the Rambam has described is that the time of Mashiach, the real goal of the time of Mashiach, and we discussed this in the previous Iker, when we discussed the Iker of Mashiach, is that the time of Mashiach is a time in which the world itself as a whole becomes a place in which the focus, in which the direction of existence is completely conducive to understanding a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the point of Yemos Mashiach, is that it is that when this world reaches a point where it has reached a purpose, it has reached a state of perfection, in that it now becomes a place which is dedicated towards meaning, towards grasping a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam describes here that it's in that time period which a person is able to focus solely on chachma, on wisdom, on understanding Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what that time is misugal, is equipped for is the time period when they'll be able to focus single-mindedly on the true purpose of existence, on understanding the Kaddish Baruch Hu, on grasping the and getting a intellectual appreciation or understanding of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The role of Tchiyas HaMesim, as the Rambam describes in the order in which the Rambam gives, is that first comes Yemos HaMashiach, and the Rambam writes that the war of Gog and Magog is going to be maybe at the beginning of Yemos HaMashiach, or maybe right before, maybe right after, and Tchiyas HaMesim is also going to be right around right around that time. But the Tchiyas HaMesim is the point at which those people who lived a life of Tirga, those people lived a life of distraction, of being involved in all the other things in the world, which you did not have the opportunity to focus on the real pursuit that life is meant to be about, where they have the opportunity to be involved, those people who are alive and who are Zocha to be alive at the time of Tchiyas of Yemos HaMashiach, so they'll be there for Yemos HaMashiach because they're already alive then. This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin which actually says that that at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, everybody who's alive will die and then instantaneously be revived. But at the end of the day, they're going to be there because they're there. As opposed to all those people who lived a life of tzidkus, lived a life of Torah and mitzvos to the extent of their ability, but they were not around for the time of Yemos HaMashiach, in a certain sense, have lost out on that opportunity. They don't have the opportunity to take part in that state of existence in which Das Hashem, in which Mara Aretz Deas Hashem, in which the world is full and fully capable, the world is fully compatible with understanding Kaddish Baruch Hu. Tchiyas HaMesim is those who deserve it, those who live the life in which they really yearned for that. That was their real she'ifa, that was their real desire in life. They weren't able to achieve it in their lifetime because the world was not that kind of place. They are given the opportunity to take part in that existence through Tchiyas HaMesim. Through Tchiyas HaMesim, they get the opportunity to live in the world of Umara Aris Deas Hashem. And I just want to suggest the Rambam is indicates this idea in a couple places. The Ramban that we started with, that last line that he said when he was saying the Rambam, summarizing the Rambam's view, he said that they're going to come back, they're going to be here for, and then they'll die again and go back to Olam Haba. And he writes, "B'mal gedolim imena," they'll go back at a higher level. They are Zocha with the mitzvos that they did at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim. And that is what's going to stay with them forever. While a person is the Rambam, if you go through Mar Nevochim, so the Rambam has a whole lot of ta'amei mitzvos, a whole lot of where he describes the meaning of the mitzvos, the ideas, the concepts that the mitzvos are meant to teach us. As long as a person is involved and distracted with all of the pursuits that by necessity we have to be involved in living in this world, a person is not able to focus with their full extent on anything that they're doing. As long as there is distraction, you cannot have single-minded dedication to what you're doing, as long as there are other things that are by necessity drawing away your attention. And therefore, those mitzvos that we do, which are meant to reveal to us spiritual truths, and divine wisdom, a person in this world cannot get the full effect of the mitzvos and of the chachma of Torah as long as there is the distractions of the other world. And that's what the Rambam describes. And that last halacha that we saw in Mishneh Torah, in Hilchos Tshuva, where was it? Mishneh Torah and Hilchos Tshuva? In Hilchos Tshuva, that v'hasirosi mechem leiva evan, that I'm going to remove the heart of stone, that as long as we're in this world, there's a block. A person is not able to fully internalize those things which are involved in, as long as we're within the limitations of everything that limits us in this world. It's only in that time of Tchiyas HaMesim, of Yemos HaMashiach, when a God has made the world a place where we're able to fully grasp and fully internalize everything that Torah and mitzvot is meant to bring about in a person. And I think that that is possibly how the Rambam would explain the Gemara that we started with in Sanhedrin. That the Rambam, that the Gemara says that why does a person who rejects Tchias HaMesim not get Olam Haba? Because since he rejected it, he won't have a portion in it. How does the Rambam explain the interchangeability of those two concepts? Is because of this. Tchias HaMesim is a necessary prereq to getting into Olam Haba, because it's only through Tchias HaMesim, through the time period, through being there for the Yemos HaMashiach, being in that existence where you are able to fully grasp all of the spiritual concepts which are possible to get at that point. It's only through participating in that existence that a person is able to make it into Olam Haba in its fullness. So a person who rejects Tchias HaMesim, as a consequence, he won't be there for Tchias HaMesim and will therefore not be able to participate in Olam Haba, because he loses the opportunity to get the he loses the opportunity to play the game. He loses the opportunity to get that which gets you into Olam Haba, and therefore a person who rejects Tchias HaMesim will not be part for Olam Haba. One last thing that I was going to add, which just slipped out of my mind. We discussed a number of times that the idea of the Ikrim, the idea of Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, that the yesod of the Ikrim, what makes something an Ikr, what makes something a fundamental, is that without it, a person will not convince themselves, or a person will convince themselves out of performing Torah and mitzvot. And we went through each of the Ikrim and explained what, you know, fundamental concept, if a person didn't know this, why they will not find Torah and mitzvot binding. And so I think you could suggest that the Tchias HaMesim, if a person knows that all of the Torah and mitzvot that they do not really measure up to what they can't really get everything out of it that they're going to get, a person will tell themselves the Torah and mitzvot are not worth it if the full potential of Torah and mitzvot is inaccessible to me. So, you know, I'm not going to bother. If I'm, you know, in Yemos HaMashiach, so then, okay, great, Torah and mitzvahs are great. But if I'm, you know, here today, so person, they're wrong, but a person could tell themselves, why bother with Torah and mitzvahs? I'm not going to get that much out of it anyways. And therefore, the Ikar of Tchias HaMesim tells a person, no, if you do what you're supposed to now, you will be given the opportunity to be there in the time period where you can capitalize, where you can fully benefit and gain from the experience of Torah and mitzvot, and that's what keeps a person from convincing themselves that Torah and mitzvot are not really worth it, is the knowledge that, no, even though the Torah and mitzvot that I do now might not have the full effect of what Torah and mitzvot are capable of, but by doing what I'm supposed to do now, I gain entry to that time period where I can capitalize, where I can gain the full experience of what Torah and mitzvot are meant to do to a person in that time period. I just want to finish off, just because we're discussing the Rambam, the general, we're going at length to explain the Rambam's opinion here, and hopefully we got, you know, some level of understanding. I don't know, you know, the whole picture in the Rambam is very difficult, he's very terse, there's a lot of things that need explanation, but we're going at length to explain the Rambam because we're learning the Rambam. But just to put things, you know, clearly, the Rambam is, for the most part, regarded as the rejected opinion in this discussion. In the discussion of the nature of spirituality in Judaism and Olam Haba, the opinion of the Ramban is the accepted opinion, to the point that the Vilna Gaon actually said that the Rambam was influenced by Aristotle, and that his opinion was, I don't know if he actually goes so far as to call it heresy, but he says that he was, you know, seduced by Aristotelian philosophy in this point of that Aristotle believed, you know, in the absolute non-existence of physicality, meaning that all physicality must in the end come to an end, and therefore there's no possible way for the physical to be redeemed and the physical to be part of anything final and permanent. And so the opinion of the Rambam in this is really the outlier shita. the what we view as the accepted opinion in you know our belief system is the opinion of the Ramban. There are many who will tell you that the term accepted opinion is not the most accurate term to use when we describe hashkafa, when we describe views that are not halakha. But if you look around, that's you know the generally accepted approach that we view that the idea of kedusha as described in many sfarim, Yisrael Sisharim is at length about this. The idea of kedusha is the idea of elevating the physical into something spiritual, and that is the yesod of everything. Is that we can turn the physical into spiritual and imbue meaning into something which did not have meaning to begin with, and that's what is most emphasized in the idea of Tchiyas HaMeisim and Olam Haba being a combination of the physical and the spiritual, is that we have the ability and the charge to bring meaning to something which is not by its nature something spiritual, which is not by its nature something permanent or lasting. Alright, so we'll stop here for today, and next week we'll continue.